You're a Coen Brothers guy, right?
Yeah. Yes. I don't know that I think about it in that way, but whenever there's a Coen Brothers film that comes out, I think there is there's some expectation and some hope and some excitement to see what they have done this time around.
Yeah, so I'm a weird guy to talk about Coens in general, because generally I don't consider myself a Coen Brothers guy, and I look at their you know, like Raising Arizona, hate it. Fargo, okay, I liked Fargo. Lebowski, I'm apathetic. I don't really care. I understand why people love that movie, though. I get why they love that movie. But that's not mine. Oh, Brother, I've never actually managed to sit through Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? I've tried a couple times. But, you know, No Country for Old Men, good. True Grit, also good. Inside Llewyn Davis, good. Hail Caesar, okay. Buster Scruggs, I enjoyed that for what it was. Then we get to this Driveway Dolls, which is Ethan sans Joel.
Yeah, without his brother, yeah.
Yeah, so... co-written with his wife. And this is not for everyone either.
No.
So this is a breakup road trip crime movie. Those are your three categories.
It's a caper.
It's a caper. So it's set in, was it early 90s? I think.
Probably.
Something like that. And it's wackadoodle. Okay. So two girls need to get out of New York, or want to get out of New York, because one of them just broke up with her girlfriend. One of them can't get over her long ago breakup with her girlfriend. So they're going to drive. They're going to go to Tallahassee. And they decide to use a drive-away service, which is a service where they hire a driver and they move someone's car from point A to point B.
Yeah.
They drive it there. So they go and they go, we want to go to Tallahassee. Guy just got a call to take a car to Tallahassee by tomorrow night. And they go, we're in. Well, that was wrong. We get
Curly made a mistake.
Yeah. Poor Curly, the guy that runs Curly's drive-away service, made a mistake and gave the car to Jamie and Marion, played by Mark Qualley and Geraldine Viswanathan. Instead of the goons, played by Joey Slotnick and CJ Wilson, who work for the chief, played by Coleman Domingo.
Yeah.
Last seen in Rustin by me. So they're driving and they're not supposed to have the car. So the goons go after them to try to reclaim the car and its contents, because there's something hidden in the car. That's the heist. That's the caper portion of our program, which also includes Pedro Pascal. I'm really tired of movies having an actor in it for one scene and then putting them like top billing. That's just really disturbing to me.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So, we get the caper version of this. We also get the weird lesbian road trip.
Yeah.
Where they're going to go to this lesbian bar in this town, even though Marion doesn't want to go, but Jamie is a free spirit beyond what free spirit should be.
Yeah, Jamie is anything goes.
She has no filter, no sense of propriety, and no limits, really. Which is exactly the opposite.
Or at least none that were shown.
None that were shown.
she may have some limits somewhere in there, but
we don't find them here. So it's interesting. So yeah, so this, and then, man, it's so, okay, look, so this is a raunch comedy.
Yeah. Very bold.
About a lesbian road trip with a caper. It's a quasi serious, but mostly humorous caper.
Yeah. You can't. Yeah. I mean, there's maybe an element of threat somewhere in there.
Yeah, right.
But this almost is.
Well, the head and hat box proves that there's a
threat here. There's a slapstick nation.
There's a slapstick nature to it. All of that being said, I think I'm in the minority when I say I enjoyed it, but I'd be hard pressed to go to most of the people I know and go, let's go watch this movie.
Yeah. It's a hard sell because it's kind of like Jamie. The movie itself is a lot like Jamie. And I don't know what the right words are because unapologetic isn't quite right.
No. Unabashedly.
I think we have, maybe. Yeah. I mean, you know, queer cinema, This is, and there's another film coming out really soon here called Love Lies Bleeding that was at Sundance.
Yes,
that has a sort of similar attitude.
I'm seeing it, I believe, Wednesday.
Yeah, but you wouldn't really confuse the two films, no. Although they feel important. I mean, I've seen both, so they feel like they fit in the same kind of place.
Mm-hmm.
In that, you know, this they're both sourcing B movies to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
and not B movies in the sense of budget, but B movies in the sense of the freedom of working within genre,
right?
The freedom of being able to do something that the world of Driveway Dolls is not exactly our world.
No.
And because it's not exactly our world and it's established, they can do things that in a lot of films, if they just did what they did in this, it wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the concept and the way that they built the film as sexploitation or however you want to, you know, it's not just one thing. That's another thing about this film. It's not just one thing. It's not just a sexploitation film, because then again, it is also the height or the caper, and in a way, those elements don't always come together perfectly. Sometimes they get in the way of each other, I think.
Yeah, occasionally.
Because in some ways this is very much about two girls who have known each other for a long time, who have very different personalities, but who also have a lot in common. This isn't like exactly an odd couple film.
Yeah.
I mean, it sort of is, but it's not, because they have a lot of common ground and you know, they're genuinely, I think they both admire certain aspects of the other person. And that's where some of the film is interesting to me, is their character dynamics and the way the two characters interact. And the caper is kind of just this catalyst that keeps things high speed, I guess. You know, it just turns up the speed of the film.
Yeah. It gets the clock running.
It pushes you along.
Yeah. So, but speaking of that, the clock, the film is a brisk 84 minutes.
Yeah.
And on the worst part of this, the part of this movie that I didn't enjoy were all of the psychedelic interludes. Those were like, I didn't find them helpful or informative. I almost felt like they were just there to pad out the runtime.
Well,
I mean, they tie into one bit right at the end, but as they're sprinkled through it, just, I don't know. I feel like there was a better way to transition certain places.
The weird thing about that is that's the one part of this movie that actually is true. That is actually happening.
Well, yeah. I know, right?
Which is, I mean, yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. And there are times where you're like, well, what in the world? And you're probably right to say that they don't exactly fit. But they, I guess, are significant. And again, like I said, that is an aspect of the film that this is actually based on. That part is based on a true story.
Plastercaster.
Yeah. So,
and like I said, when we get to the end part where that's like fully developed, that's, it was just those parts leading up to that, I was just, like, they just kind of slowed everything down for me. And I was just let's move along. Let's move. Hey everyone, welcome back to season 9 of the Visually Stunning Movie Podcast. If you like what you're seeing and hearing, please feel free to like us, share us, follow us wherever you're listening to us, actually. If you're on YouTube, click subscribe. That would be great. Go to the website at vsmoviepodcast.com, and that will give you links to all of our socials. It'll give you write-ups of stuff that's not audio, but you'll get pretty much everything there. So if you like what you're seeing and hearing, make sure you share it with everyone else. Now let's get back to the show.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yeah, I think the first couple, you don't exactly know what's going on. I think eventually you figure out what's going on and then you understand why it's there. But initially, it just kind of feel like, pink elephants on parade.
Right.
It's just the acid. It's just like, whoa. And now we're going to do something crazy.
Yeah.
And that, you know, it doesn't mean that you don't like it or whatnot. It just, but does it fit? Yeah, I don't know. I initially, no. By the end, yes. But, you know, I don't know. It's a very silly movie.
Oh, it is. And there's nothing wrong with having a silly movie.
Oh, no. It's, you know, I don't know that it's, you can see the Coen brother aspects to it. They're definitely there. But because it's not the brothers, it's you know, you have another person who's a co-writer on this, who is not one of the brothers, who has different sensibilities, who has different voice.
Yeah.
This inevitably, you could watch this movie and not realize that one of the Coens was involved.
Yeah.
Or if you know that one of the Coens is involved, you can watch this movie and you can see exactly where the Coen elements are.
Right.
So it's kind of unusual in that regard. It's pretty vulgar. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's it does not shy away. Well, it shows almost everything.
Yeah,
almost everything, not quite everything. And what it doesn't show, it implies super heavy. So, you know, there's that. But again, I think I'm in the minority, because a lot of the people that I've seen are like, I don't like it. I'm just like,
see, and I think I'm more with you on it in the sense that I think it's just a film that isn't going to appeal to a lot of people. But I do think it's interesting that we are getting this film and we're getting Love Lies Bleeding, and that we got Booksmart a few years ago, where these different voices are kind of being pulled in. You know, and the question becomes, is the film attractive because it's evidence that the landscape has changed? Is that why, you know, I look at it and I like it? I like that there's a space for this film, that this film exists, and that it's actually being released fairly wide. Maybe you might argue it's not major studio, but Focus Features is a major studio, the indie studio.
Yeah.
And there's probably a time where this film doesn't get made.
Right.
And so it's interesting that it does get made, and that it is being put out there, and that it stars famous people, and that it, you know, up and coming actresses that are going to be with us for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to be in films for a long time.
Yeah. Well, it's weird because it's, you know, Booksmart especially did really well. We'll see about this, and we'll see about Love Lies Bleeding. But it goes back to my argument where people were like, oh, it's important for the voices. I'm like, it's important for your movie to be good.
Yeah.
Now, getting the opportunity to make a good movie is a separate argument. But a movie is not going to succeed or fail based on that. It's going to succeed or fail on, based on whether it's good.
To a certain extent, yes.
So, you know, I mean, because again, haters on the internet are not going to keep your film from making 500 for a movie like this, not going to keep it from making $250 million. If this movie makes $250 million, that's a huge success based on the budget, right? You know, but again, all the voices on the internet are not going to keep your superhero tentpole from making $1 billion. They're not going to keep that from happening. They're, you know, that's your movie.
They can try.
They can try, but they can't do it. There are not enough of them to do it. No. If your movie is good, generally speaking, your movie will do well.
I think that for a lot of people, the film is going to be like, oh, well, I don't know that I really want to see that.
And it's, well, and it's up to people like us, I guess, to go, yeah, there's, well, for many reasons. Some people just might not like sex.
Yeah.
Forget the whole lesbian aspect. They just might not, and that, fine, don't go see movies. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But if you're only not seeing it, if you would see a raunch comedy that, you know, if you went and saw Sausage Party, but you won't go and see this, then that's on you.
Yeah. You know, and I tend to be a little prudish when it comes to, I mean, I think at some point in your life, you recognize kind of where your head is and the way you see. So, but to me, this isn't any more offensive than a hangover.
No,
this isn't. Exactly. You know what I mean? So that's where I kind of feel like, you know, I don't know that I would like, this is my thing and that I enjoy this. Or that I would seek this out. I enjoyed the film, but it's something that I would seek out. And traditionally, no, because like you said, a Sausage Party to me was like, why would you make this movie?
I didn't even see it. I looked at that and I was like, no, I know what they're doing, and I don't care. You know,
and well, exactly, and that's, you know, I guess it's. Why do we not like certain things? And is it the fault of the film, or is it just our own taste? No, and to me, this was easier to watch than Joyride.
I think actually it probably was easier to watch than Joyride.
Because Joyride was just so in your face about everything, whereas this felt like they were just, it was just was. It just is. This is just who Jamie is.
Yep.
And this is, you know, she's not trying to provoke you. She's going to provoke you. She's going to make you, you know,
mad, sad, uncomfortable. Yes.
Something. Yep. But that's because that's just who she is. And it didn't feel like from the writer's perspective that they were really trying to do anything than other than write this character.
Yeah, exactly. So what would Jamie say?
This is Jamie, and this is what Jamie would do. Whereas I think in Joyride, for the most, there were certain times where like, well, how far can we go with this?
Right.
Can we just push and, you know, yeah, it makes sense for the character, but can we even push it a little further than that? Where this one, it just felt like those are the characters.
Right.
And you may just not like Jamie. Jamie might be someone that you couldn't hang around as an actual person. And it isn't necessarily because she's a lesbian. Maybe it's because she's just so open about everything.
Right.
And she never filters anything. And she seems to kind of live in this world that you almost feel like you're brave for living in that world in the real world, because your world isn't really aligned with the real world. And you're still kind of getting away with living in the real world, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know,
I think I could hang out with Jamie about 60% of the time.
Yeah,
and would be times where I'm just like, you know what, Jamie,
I can't
you're a little too much today.
and it's not you.
No,
you're always up to 10. You're always up to 10.
Yeah,
there are just certain days where I can only take 7.
Exactly,
and you're always,
and you're always at 10. So,
and I can't. I just cannot do this today.
Yeah,
yeah,
can't do you today. So yeah, so it's an interesting film, and it will be interesting to see how this genre expands and how this I hate the word representation. I really do, because it's such a loaded word. I mean, it's a, I hate it because people get pissy.
But this is quintessential queer theater, or a queer film.
Right.
It is about a queer world, dominated by queer characters, but with who are, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's incredibly interesting that this film got made and is.
Oh, yeah, I find it interesting too. It almost, if A24 do hard comedy? Not really. But it all, you could almost see them approving some version of this.
Sure.
But Focus would be the next.
Yeah.
Disney's not going to make this. Paramount's not going to make this. That's just not going to happen. So, but yeah, it is. There's a place for this movie. There's absolutely a place for this movie. Now, is it on everyone's physical media shelf? Probably not. But it is interesting, and God help me, it's entertaining, and that's what I want out of a movie. Driveway Dolls is in theaters now. It is in theaters, so you can check it out if you so desire. We have a few screenings coming up over the next couple weeks, which we will be talking about after we watch them. Man, you know what we haven't talked about? And I don't know if we want to. We never talked about Madam Web. Ha, 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 ha. Maybe we'll do that later at some point when we recover a little bit. But we'll talk more about this, about some other films that are coming up, including Love Lies Bleeding, because Ryan has already seen it, and I did not get to it at Sundance. Yeah. So I saw the other Kristen Stewart movie, Love Me. Too, yeah. So we'll see which one I think was better. Definitely we will be back to talk about more films. Until we do, don't forget to like us, follow us, share us, for the love of God, with your friends. If you like what you read, hear, and or see from us, that would be great. Until next time, I'm Mark. That's Ryan. Bye, Ryan.
See ya.
We'll talk to y'all later.